Welcome back to the Two Guys Named Chris show. I'll tell you something. We're just zigging and zagging all over the place because I gave Lisa a few stories that we were going to cover these stories. We just added three just today.
Well, you know, that's the advantage of radio on World Radio Day.
Today is World Radio Day, Dave.
I had
or
no
national,
idea.
Or national.
Oh, it's National Radio Day.
Oh, national. Well, that's not as big.
But still, it's big enough.
Still.
I guaranteed to play this every hour on the hour.
And like a good radio professional.
Skipped it.
Got failed on a promise. Failed to deliver.
That's correct.
That's what we do.
That's correct. Happy National Radio Day, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, in just a few moments, we start our daily broadcast.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight. And in the morning with your toast and mama, lady-o.
John, what is FM?
Good. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring, or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
I want to be a DJ.
You do?
Woo! 150 million people. That's all.
That's the radio.
I think I heard of that. It's called the radio.
Now, who doesn't feel good now? Who does not feel good now?
Woo, get your zoot suit out.
That warmed me up.
Wow. Lisa Lanier is on the radio.
See, the advantage of radio is you can...
We zig and zag.
You pivot live.
That's right. We pivot. I gave Lisa four or five stories yesterday. We might not touch a one of them. She'll completely unprepared for this. We are pivoting on the spot. Lisa, hello. How are you?
Wow, that was quite the little montage you just did.
Yeah,
wow.
Oh, yeah, that's radio, baby. Yes. That's how it's done, exactly.
It was.
Here's our... Now, that is a 60-year-old jingle.
Back when the bands were in the studio.
That's correct. Used to, the bands would come in the studio.
Orchestras.
Let me ask you this. Yes. We just talked about this in the last segment. We were talking about marijuana dispensaries in a legalized state like Colorado. And Chris Dim was saying, why is it an all-cash business deal? The answer is because it's not legalized federally, so no bank will get behind it, so you can't use your credit card there. So if it's not legalized federally, can you use a, let's say, Colorado bank? So when you get $1,000, $100,000 in cash, you need to deposit it into the bank in your business account, Colorado banks will take that money, correct?
Yeah, they'll take it as long as it's cash because... Where the feds are interested in stepping in is if you use something that is part of interstate commerce. And if you just depositing in your local bank is not considered engaging in interstate commerce, but using a credit card is considered interstate commerce. And the feds are leaving it alone as long as you don't go there into interstate commerce.
So
that's, yeah, there's still, so what happens is with all this cash, it ends up that there's still a lot of crime surrounding these things because they're getting robbed all the time. And, you know, they're waiting for the deposit to be made at night and carjacking these people and holding them up and a lot of risk there.
I would imagine that too, that if you're a tourist, you know, visiting Colorado, when you want to go to a store, get some edibles or whatever, you may even just think, hey, I'll just use my credit card. You may not have
that's
the
true.
Cash.
That's
I'll bet
true.
They have ATM. And they can
do.
I bet they have an ATM
they
right
have to.
That's true. And if I'm an employee of a dispensary, how am I paid? Do they put it in the bank and then write checks from the bank? Is that how, or direct deposit into your personal account as an employee?
Yeah, I think employees are paid normally because the issue is not so much. You know, you're allowed to do banking. You're allowed to pay your employees electronically. It's when you use something that, like a credit card, that is considered a part of interstate commerce.
Okay, that's a very cutting edge, current day question and issue we had for Lisa. Here's another. We have a P1 listener saying this. His kids go to school in a county that has left is not requiring students or teachers to wear masks. They're leaving it optional as of now. His kids and his family really believe in masks and wearing masks. So they homeschooled them last year, but now they're sending them back to school. And so his question is, if my kids go to school, wear a mask, but the county doesn't require it, and then they get COVID because other kids aren't wearing masks, can they bring a lawsuit against the school system? Lisa, what are your thoughts? I'm going to guess no. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's going to depend on if COVID gets so bad that it's just, you know, like it's just a complete ridiculous policy not to have masks, then maybe that, you know, where it just crosses that line. Mm-hmm. But for right now, And we're headed in that direction. But for right now, I think because it depends on the ages of the kids, too. You know, if it's an age like middle school, older middle school and high school where they can be vaccinated, it makes a big difference versus if they're 6 years old. Mm-hmm. But right now, I think it's the policy would probably not be actionable. But I think if you get a little bit further along, like the CDC just a week or two ago recommended that in schools, teachers and students, regardless of vaccination status, should all be masked. Because what we're finding is that, you know, vaccinated people are asymptomatic but carrying it at high rates. Mm-hmm. And, it'd be pretty, in that kind of closed quarters, especially where kids are, you know, so close to the teachers and so close to each other, I mean, it makes sense to wear a mask. So I think we're getting in that direction. But for right now, I don't think that it'd be a
lot. What do you think about this? Here's another one we're just going to pivot and throw at you. Mm. A couple is being sued for $112,000 after they left a one-star review on Google. They're from Vancouver, Washington. Had a leak in their roof a few months ago. Their landlord sent over a roofing company, Executive Roof Services, to check it out. An employee came and found the leak. The tenant said she asked about a timeline and was told to call the office. She called the office, talked to the receptionist, who was rude and wouldn't give her any other information. Boyfriend called, had a bad experience as well. So they left a one-star review detailing their experience with the rude receptionist. But now they're being sued for this one-star review. This is happening more and more, isn't it? I mean, aren't you you're allowed to give reviews. What are your thoughts on this, Lisa?
Yeah, so what you're seeing is, and there's a D.C. attorney that's really made this his niche practice area where he's representing people all over the country, businesses, going after consumers who placed bad reviews, mm-hmm. and he's suing them for defamation. And defamation, you know, if you're stating an opinion, no defamation there. If you're stating a true and accurate fact, there's no defamation there. And in a lot of these reviews, they are opinion and fact, but he's going after them anyway, and these consumers can't afford to fight it. He's a very expensive attorney. He's filing in federal court, and it would cost them tens of thousands of dollars to fight him. Mm-hmm. So they just default and lose. And so, I mean, he's been prevailing, but there is a huge movement against that sort of thing. These are 31 states now have some form of anti-SLAPP legislation. A SLAPP lawsuit mm-hmm. is it stands for Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation.
Dave slap. Likes to slap now. I don't know about that. He popped up. Slap, he sat up when you said anti-slap. Wait a minute now.
Which end?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Which end?
He likes a little slap play. Every
Dave,
once in a while.
Dave, it's not that kind of slap. All it's right. not that
well,
kind of slap.
Well, I'm not coming over.
Slump back over again here, Dave. Okay. All right. So anti-slap. Well, come on now. This guy should not be getting away with that. That's ridiculous. I like the anti-slap legislation. But why, if they're sued for $112,000 for leaving one bad review online, how much would they wind up paying? Not the whole $112,000.
Well, so he's saying, so defamation, your damages are your business losses. And what this roofing company is saying is that they suffered $28,000 a week in damages for the duration of this review being left up. Mm-hmm. And I guess they took it down at some point. That's how you come up with that amount. So if they could, if this, you know, basically if they're alleging that, and then it depends on if these people are not able to even hire an attorney and fight it, they may get defaulted for that amount.
Yeah. God, how terrible. I mean, that really is too bad. Yeah. You because you tell the truth. If the receptionist was rude, you know, you should be allowed to put your idea online.
You know, we keep throwing things at Lisa unbeknownst to her, and this is not the same thing. But I wonder where social media falls in this. Here's an example. Mm-hmm. We got a text 1 week ago, middle of summer, mm-hmm. from one of my cousins in Maryland, and she said, just got your Christmas card.
Okay. So your Christmas card was delayed in the mail. Okay.
Which we mailed through December.
Yeah, okay.
So I took to Twitter immediately, and I said, thanks to the USPS, and I hashtagged for delivering our Christmas card.
Okay.
You're welcome.
All right.
Say no more in your tweet, sir.
Happy to serve.
We are here for you.
Well, let me say this.
Your now, tax that's not dollars a Google review.
Work. Now, I got that Christmas card. I think it's possible. The Postal Service looked at that and said, this is so good, we have to put it up on the bulletin board. These suits that they're wearing.
Let it hang.
Yeah, we got to hang this up.
This is the most heartfelt Christmas card.
This is the best Christmas card.
The USPS has ever
I bet they had people come in and say, where's that Christmas card?
We want to see it.
So is Chris Dem going to be sued? Biggie's saying, please God, yes.
The full force of the post office.
Can Chris Dem?
The guy to sue him is right
right down the street.
Is the USPS going to be suing Chris Dim now because of social media content?
Yeah, well, it's possible. I don't think they will, but it is possible because you can be accused of defamation for any place that you make public comment, whether it's on Twitter or, you know, wherever. Mm. Not just in a Google review, but any defamation is basically any published comment.
I didn't defame. I just used the facts with snark.
Did you pay for first class mail?
Doubtful.
Well, then you get what you get.
It's a first class stamp.
51 cent.
Listen,
and if they sue you, you get that 51 cent back.
And I'll tell you that he goes heavy snark. That is heavy.
That's
snark.
That's my thing.
I know that. I believe
that's my lieu.
They would. That is it. He dabbles in snark like great artists dabble in oils.
Yes. I mean, or watercolors.
He's that good at it. That's right. Now, let's ask this, Lisa. Is another case for you. Oh, well, let me ask Chris Dim. Let's say you got sued, or you hear about this lawsuit, mm-hmm. and she said, oh, yeah, you might have to go through that because of this attorney. Would that stop you from putting up a snarky now going forward, you know, to some other business?
It might.
Right. I mean, I would think about it.
If you hashtag the business.
Yeah.
Which I did.
I would think about it.
Make you think twice about it. Yeah, absolutely.
Just hearing this. One other story for you. A disability rights activist is suing United Airlines to cover the cost of replacing her power wheelchair because she was on a flight going on United Airlines, her flight home from Washington, D.C., where she had attended a disability rights march in July. And when she got off the plane in Los Angeles, found that her wheelchair was damaged beyond repair. I assume the wheelchair was then below the plane, and it had been bent and damaged horribly. It's a $30,000 power wheelchair. And she says, I'm stuck at home. I can't go where I want. She's looking for not only an apology, she wants them to pay for a new wheelchair. So far, they haven't. What are your thoughts on this, Lisa?
Yeah, so I think I saw an update to this story. I think they are agreeing to pay for it now, and I don't think it's going to go all the way to a lawsuit. She was threatening. Mm-hmm. And I think now where her agenda is she's actually trying to change airline policies. Because, you know, when a person with a disability is in a wheelchair comes onto the plane or approaches the plane, they make them switch out of their wheelchair into one of the airline's wheelchairs that's, according to the airlines, you know, that's suited to go up and down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times the private wheelchair may not.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just their policy. She's trying to change that policy because she said these wheelchairs are nothing like, you know, the real wheelchair that you normally would use, and that it's she says the wheelchair is an extension of her body,
mm-hmm.
and that she should be allowed to have her wheelchair on the plane. And so she's really seeking a whole airline industry change. But I do think that United Airlines, they've agreed to repair her existing wheelchair. They've arranged a loaner, and they're trying to cooperate.
Do you think?
I mean, that's a PR nightmare, but then you'd have to widen every aisle.
Right. Will she be successful in changing their policy, do you think?
I don't think so. I think they established that policy because they had problems. And I think probably some of these custom electric wheelchairs are just too wide.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah, and airplanes have, I mean, they have parameters to get the thing in the air.
They're very finite.
She says the loaner wheelchair that she experienced had a broken armrest. The seat is too small to fit the cushion she requires to support her body. And she had bad pain during the flight.
$30,000. That's how much they cost.
Well, this nice one. Yeah, $30,000 wheelchair.
Yeah. She had a nice one.
I'd say, yeah.
I won't say anything about the grocery cart with the wheel that.
Oh my god!
I was gonna, but I'm not.
No,
that would be snarky.
You said enough.
That would be snarky.
Talk about snark.
That would be milieu.
Well, that is his milieu to start talking about that. Awful. Lisa Lanier, we didn't even get to half the stuff we were going to get to.
But by golly,
Tiger Woods. I know we didn't even talk about Tiger Woods.
I know.
She handled herself like a pro, though.
I mean, you threw stuff left and right, Kelly.
I did. We'll have to save Tiger Woods for next week.
What did he do?
Well, he's suing Rachel Yucatel because she broke her non-disclosure agreement.
Oh.
Apparently talked about the sex acts. Oh. We'll talk about that next week. I'll tell you, though, next Friday I won't be here, so we'll do it on Thursday. Is that okay,
right,
Lisa, with you? Okay.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yep, right, we'll talk to you Thursday.
Celebrate good time.
Come on.
When did that happen?
You just saw it, brother.
Arte.
He doesn't discuss it with anyone. He don't say nothing. He just flops
that's radio,
on
baby.
I'm taking
wait, it's not for a procedure, is it? Okay.
Thank you, Lisa. Good to talk to you as always. She's available at earloggroup.com, hireaheavyweight.com. There she goes.
Look, Chris Dim's crying. He's so happy.